We're holding here in Maamar Ikrim, and this is the continuation of the first point in Beborius Barach. We had spoken last time about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tchilas HaKol, Motzei Echad, Adon Kol Nitzoyos Shemtzim Beishu Rotzo, Umekayimu Kol Hazman Sheyirtze, Beisholot Ben Shlita Gemuro Kel Yisbarach. So we have a second half, now this piece we just read now, that he's mekaimum kol hazman sheyirtze, mitzim beisharos kol hazman sheyirtze, v'sholot ben shlita gemura v'akel yisbarach. So there's a second half to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. In other words, the first part of this is actually a description of Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, what he is. So we said he's a Motzi Echad, and he's Netchilas HaKol. Now, this all is possible to be, that there be such an entity, but we would not think that there's an ongoing relationship. I want to point out two more names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are a continuation of Havaya. We tend to think of Havaya, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, as being the quote-unquote best name, and obviously, it's the holiest name. But Aleph Daled Nun Yud is sort of a step-down version, which is, I guess, included in Havaya. That's true to some degree, but we would be missing something if we would not emphasize the other aspect. A person could think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is absolute, but there is nothing that happens ongoing in the world. In other words, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the world into motion, then the world has its own reality. Now, it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can intervene if he's all-powerful and almighty, and that we're willing to concede, but the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly running and everything that's happening is happening through him, that's something that we're less inclined to think so. So, the first thing he says is Shem Tzim Be'esh Ratza. Let's analyze the word rotza. The word rotza to us implies some cause. If I say Reuven would like to get a new car, I immediately ask myself, as a psychologist, why does he want a new car? Is his old car finished? It's outdoors. It's not a status symbol or whatever it is. To me, when I say somebody wants something, it always tempts in me a question as to what for and so on. We don't have any type of description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that. We cannot describe him in any way that leads to some sort of deficiency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean, Shem Tzim Beit Sherotza Umekayim Kozman Sheyirtza? What are we hinting at? What are we alluding to when we say the word Ratza? So the first thing that we're alluding to is that there is no independent mechanism that is has been set up that gave the world any real independence. So, for instance, let's take an example. You have countries where a worker has rights once he's been working for a while somewhere. So if a worker is working somewhere for a year, two, or five, and you want to fire him, you have to find cause to fire him. It's extreme, but I know somebody in France has a factory, and since it's been 8 years he's been trying to fire somebody, and he hasn't been successful. Government job or tenure. So once you're once you have a tenured job, there has to be a cause for firing you. In America, unless you're a tenured professor or whatever it is, there, or unless you have a contract, that put it that way, there is what's called hiring at will. So you work only as long as I wish you to work. The minute I don't wish you to work, I wish you the best of luck and you go on. So the difference between something that falls into a framework of Chachmasi Yisbara, which is means there's a mechanism. If I say something was created Chachmas Yisbarach, means that the internal mechanism is very sound, and that implies a certain level of independence away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that's Beretzono Yisbarach is really has no own existence. You're there by my whim. So, as example to workers, the worker in a place where you have rights and entitlements, you are there. You might have been hired because I wanted to hire you, and it might be possible for me to get rid of you, but you now work and you know it's self-validating. Whereas in the countries where it's up to me, it's at will, that means it's no longer self-validating. So everything is beretzono means it is not forced by anything, it's not included in anything. And they exist only as long as the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants them, which means that nothing can continue existing unless there's ongoing rotzen. Let's give a mashal, when I spoke about last time, but a mashal just to help us get this point straight. People have asked, doesn't it say Mecharech Tuvachol Yom Tamid, Kaddish Baruch Hu is always creating, so doesn't that imply as if there's a constant act of creation? It's not a good mashal, because then we run into, it really becomes hard to understand what's the difference if he's constantly creating or if it exists with an ongoing mechanism. The real pshat in that is, imagine I hire somebody to work to do the books in my company, or to run a certain machine. I hired him at will, but his ongoing existence fills a certain need in the company, and that gives him his job. I may fire him, but the company needs the account, needs the person to run the machinery. Let's say, however, I have somebody who is a he's kind of a nephew of mine, doesn't have a job, or he's a friend of mine, and I really he's not very good at much, and what I do is I hire him to sit in my firm and to shuffle papers back and forth, nothing, to do something that's completely useless. So it's not that I have to sit every minute and think, you know, I wish him to work. But it means his entire job is built on my rotzen. When I don't want it, he's not working. The Bria itself has nothing in it that will keep it existing if HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks away. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were not to be, like the Rambam says. So b'meila, anything that's ongoing has to also be beretzono. If the very essence of the Bria is an expression, manifestation of its Soni Yisbarach, so everything that goes with it is also. So what's happening to the Bria is also a product of Ritzoni Yisbarach. And that's the ongoing dynamic development. When people speak of Ashkocha, Ashkocha means more than anything else, direction of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mamzi Beis Shiratza. Nothing forced its Hamtzah. Mekaymo Kozman Sheyetze. Its continued existence is there because of Ritzono, meaning the main thing that we're trying to do is eliminate the possibility of there being any other factor that could make it survive on its own. It's not once HaKadosh Baruch Hu into existence, it exists, but it's there because I want it. So let's take another example. We use it always, a dream. If a person has a dream, Every second that the dream exists is because there's a rotzen for it to exist. If I were to not want to see whatever I see, it's gone. V'sholet ben shlita gemura. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is manhig the world. He is the one who runs the world and so on. The shlita of a Kadosh Baruch Hu expresses itself in two ways. There are times when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does as he chooses, and people's bechira chafshis tends to become is bottle. There are situations like that where and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally a shalit, no ifs, ands, and buts. There are also circumstances where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is letting us do whatever we want to do, and yet he still is getting the world to be where he wants it to be. That's an extraordinary type of shlita, which is really incomprehensible to humans. This is what we would call the stira between yediyah and bechira. The stira yediyah and bechira is that both of them coexist. Even when we have the bechira and we do as we wish to do, or maybe said as we think we wish to do, still there is an ongoing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving the pieces in the direction that he wishes. How is that possible? I don't know. And the Rambam says nobody can know. So the v'sholot ben shlita gemura is something that is true in both cases. The Ramchal speaks about this a lot in Das Tvunas, when he develops the two mahalchim in the Bria. These are two ongoing simultaneous mahalchim. One is Yediyah, one is Bechira. They are both active at all times. Or better said, Yediyah certainly is, Bechira is active the majority of times. And yet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet, even when Bechira is at full speed, the Yediyah, or the Anhag of Yichur, as he calls it, is also ongoing, and that's the Shlita Gemara we're talking about. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never out of control in the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always directing it, and so on. The Elohim and Adnus, both of them are a description of this phenomena. Elohim means the Baal HaKochos Kulam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source for all of the powers in the world. Kings who make decrees, generals who fight wars. It's a type of anything in the Bria that is in flux, that is dynamic. It's kind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we can give somewhat of a mashal, not a perfect mashal, but somewhat of a mashal, when I have a house with 24 appliances, each one running, one is cooling the house, one is heating the food, one is closing lights, one is turning lights on, one is doing this, one is doing that, but they all come from the same power. They're all coming from the power supply. Cut the power supply and everything goes dead. It's not a perfect example, because that's still distancing it, but it's somewhat of an example. So the entire mechanism of the Bria is really being run by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the name Elohim is, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Elohim, when you take it into, when you make it whole, you get the following variations. Elohim could mean a man of power. That he's going to be your boss. Elohim lo sekalel is referring to a Bezdin. Bezdin has power. they have the ability and exercise power, you are not allowed to curse them. So those are all called B'nei Elohim, our angels. Those are all the bottom end of the power. It's like, it's not the electricity coming to the wall, it's the appliance that's making use of it. That's where the name Elohim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in. Let me explain one more place, kind of surprising, but where this meaning of Elohim comes in. Idols are called Elohim Acherim. They're called other gods. The reason is, why is it not called other Yud-Hei, Vav, and Hei? Why is that name not used? Because all of the Avodah Zarah perceive their Avodah Zarah as a power of sorts. The wind god, the sun god, the crocodile god. Their sense, the concept of Oyver Avodah Zarah in terms of what is the divine, is some sort of power, force. May the force be with you, for those who know the marker of that. It's always a force. It's always something that is energy. They don't have the concept of Havaya, the Shoresh of existence, because if they would, they'd have to believe in Hashem Echad. Like the Rambam says, and we'll see it maybe sometime later, the having Hashem Echad, having a God as being existence in itself, in its most essential form, allows for only one. So therefore, of the Avodah Zarahs believe in Elohim. They believe in different forces in the world, and the question is, which force is stronger, strongest, etc. Adon, it refers more to the right and ability to make use of your work, labor, however you want to call it, for my end and my goal. That's what an Adon is. An Adon is somebody who gives you directions as where to, what to do. So we have the Shem of Havaya in the Bria. It's a concept. It expresses itself. It accesses itself within the Bria in two ways. In the fact that all the kohos, all the ongoing events that happen within the Bria, all happen through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bria is moving somewhere, and that movement is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else that you see is simply transmission, and it's gears and levers and so on. It's not the power, and not the direction. Two, Adnus is the goal of the Bria. In other words, whereas Elohim implies HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who is running the world, anything we see in the world dynamic, Adnus is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entitled to and does impose on them the goals of the Bria. So just like an Eved, an Adon to an Eved is directing the work of the Eved to the means, to the goals that the Adon has in mind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being Adon, also has the ability to dictate to the Bria all sorts of tachts and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both an entity that is existence itself. And then it has two more Hagdaras that he says over here. This is really a cutting off point between a very philosophical God who exists because nature forces you to say something born to power into existence. It exists because a person's mind sees it as a necessary mitzias, but it's not an entity that has any type of meaning, desire, rots, and so on. And the Kuzari puts those words into the philosophers. When the Kuzari tries to explain the philosopher's point of view, their take on God, the godly philosophers, the take is, yes, we recognize the existence of God, because the world has there's no way to explain how the world came to being, etc., etc. But that this being is sentient, that it's actually involved in doing, directing, building, and so on, no. That's something that they didn't believe in. So for us, and the Rambam also has it in the same way, in the core definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to bring both definitions together into this world. I need to define HaKadosh Baruch Hu both as Havaya and Elohim and / Adnus. Only add one more point. It says that Loike Shem Shenichta Vani Nikra Voyashem Lachalot Ben Hu Yashem Echor Shmei Echad Moyas is Otto Hashtet Lav Echad Hu. And the Gemara answers that right now Loike Shem Shenichta Vani Nikra Loike Shem Shenichta Vani Nikra and so on. Nikra and Nichtav refer to two different tfises in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When something is written in a book, it's a sort of absolute meaning of something. A lot of times, the dictionary definition is a bit, what's the right word for it? It's kind of a bit abstract. Yes, this is the dictionary definition. People use the word differently. People relate to it other than that. When I call somebody by some name, by something, the same way when we have somebody's name written on his birth certificate, passport, etc., that's his formal legal name, and you know, things that you have to fill out form legally, that's his name. But that's not what he's called by. When he's interacting, relates to people, that's not the name he goes by. So Havaya is a certain absolute truth which is written in the Torah. Whatever is written means that it's something that is absolute. It's like when you write things, they're a lot more frozen. They're a lot more, this is the way it is and that's that. But I don't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that. To me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adnus. My interaction, my direct interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is do this, don't do this. Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. The person's Nikra is different than Nichtav, because the philosophic definition is Havaya, the practical definition is Elohim or Adon. This is really at the core, I don't want to get into it, but you'll find in Sidurim, especially Sfari Sidurim, have Havaya and Elohim or Havaya and Adnus with Kavanah sort of interspersed. One letter of this, one letter of this, and it's kind of looks kind of strange. And then many Sfari Sidurim, the Meshalev, the different Kavanahs. What it means is, and we guess what it means for us, that we're not into Kavanas per se. What this type of inyan is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the abstract absolute Shoresh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who has the one who tells us what to do and relates to us and guides us and so on and so forth, are the same. That's called the Yichud. Vavayin Elohim, Vavayin Adnus. These are a need to imbue each one with the sense of the other. Meaning, a person just believes in Havaya, then it's a philosophic concept that has no practical application. A person who just believes in Adnus, or like him, then basically the person believes, he knows there's a God that's interacting with him. But that God is simply a very, very powerful force. Not any different than Avodah Zarah, who likes to be looked after, taken care of, and makes people's lives miserable. So this all-powerful God, if he doesn't get his sacrifices, doesn't get his wine and his drinks and stuff like that, he's going to, people are going to know about it. They're really going to suffer. So Adnus without Havaya, Havaya without Adnus, is a half of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The core definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu includes the two of them together. It's hard to have a definition that includes two terms, because then, so which one is it? But the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way he is. And the truth is, I'm not going to be Meirich, but it all is in Havaya. If a person were to really think deeply about Havaya, he would understand that Elohim comes from it. But since we don't think much of the time, so therefore we leave it as like that. But the truth is, it's all colon in that Shem of Havaya. But sometimes we focus on the Bechinas Adnus or Shlita Shebo, and sometimes we sort of look at the abstract all encompassing. But to make a split between the two is Chas V'Sholom Kfira. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both the essence of existence, the guide of the world, and the one who has the moral right and power to tell us right and wrong and so on. Okay, we'll hold it in.